you know, I've had the opportunity to sit down and talk to some really cool people as part of what I do, making podcasts, talking baseball, whether it's Auburn players, professional players, coaches. I'm a little bit, I'm not going to say awestruck, but it's a little bit intimidating to sit down with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. But he's our guest today to preview Auburn baseball versus Florida. Welcome to the Barn Baseball Show. Andy, thanks for being on, and thanks for coming to chat ball with us.
It's my pleasure. There's no reason to be anything, but let's just talk some Auburn baseball. How about that?
Let's talk some Auburn baseball. The whole point of this show is to talk about Florida. But before we do that, I was really heartened by not only Griffin Graves having three scoreless hitless innings on Tuesday, but how efficient he was. Faces nine batters, 35 pitches. He gets four ground outs, three flyouts. What was your kind of thoughts when watching Griffin Graves on Tuesday and just how he was mowing down Alabama State?
Well, one, how aggressive Alabama State was at the plate. There were a lot of first pitch swings by Alabama State. I think that helped Griffin and how efficient he was with 35 pitches in three innings of work. He kept the ball down. I thought he looked as strong in the third inning as he did in the first. And to say that in the middle of this season is a little bit odd, but remember, that's just his second outing of the year and his first start, period. And this is a guy that Butch Thompson talked about in the preseason could be one of Auburn's weekend starters, maybe Auburn's number one starter going in, and then he developed the injury, and it took him a little bit longer to get back. And his first outing was not a good one. Last week, Auburn didn't have anything good to report out of the game against Jacksonville State. No. And granted, Alabama State is not as good as that Jacksonville State ball club is, and Auburn will go to Jacksonville in its last midweek game of the season. But everything I thought that came out of Wednesday's game, including Griffin's start and everybody else that pitched in that game, was very, very positive for the Tigers. And Auburn was efficient offensively, played well defensively. I thought it was everything Auburn needed out of that game against an Alabama State ball club before it goes on the road at Florida. And it started with those very good three innings of work by Griffin Graves.
Yeah, and I feel like too often at this time of the year, the conversation for a lot of college baseball teams is, we've now lost this guy. We've now lost this guy. How do we adjust? How do we make up for that missing production? And for Auburn to be in a position where you're getting back, to your point, somebody that Butch thought could be the number one starter, your Friday night ace going into the season, means that you're just set up really, really well. Auburn's already in a position. I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit here in the rundown. Auburn's in a position where they have four really good weekend starters for three starting spots. And we saw Jackson Sanders be the odd man out this last weekend simply because the pitching was so efficient. Guys were going deep. They weren't able to use him. Auburn's four weekend starters, Andreas Alvarez, Jake Marciano, Alex Petrovic, and Jackson Sanders, all four of them have ERAs under three. And two of them have ERAs under 2.5. In your time at Auburn, Andy, can you remember being at this point of the season, heading to the stretch run, and having this many excellent performing starters to try to fit and find innings for in a weekend?
Not at this point, because typically, as you mentioned, you're talking about, oh, we've lost this guy. When do we get him back? Will we get him back in time for the SEC tournament? Will we get him back in time for those last couple SEC weekends? And to this point, this year is a little bit unusual because Auburn is now getting guys back for the stretch run of this season. And I pray that the health of this ball club maintains through the last part of this season, because it's not just on the mound, Lindsay, where Auburn is healthy. It's everywhere else that Auburn is healthy. Auburn has a healthy Eric Guevara at third base, and he is playing his best baseball of his Auburn career at this point, including two-run homers on Wednesday night against Alabama State, and he's Auburn's leading hitter in Southeastern Conference play. So this is a this is kind of uncharted territory right now as far as its health is concerned. And listen, the odds are that something's going to happen in the last half of this Southeastern Conference season. But to be at this point with the health that it has, and to your point with regard to its pitching staff, and all four of those guys that that may pitch, probably will pitch for Auburn this weekend, I believe all four have been an SEC Pitcher of the Week at some point this season, including Petrovic, who was the co-pitcher of the week after his seven-inning shutout against Kentucky on Sunday. So Auburn is very healthy going in to this Florida weekend, and it will need that because this is a very, very good Florida team that, in spite of the fact that it lost against Bethune-Cookman in the midweek, went to Georgia and took two out of three in Athens, and that may be among the most impressive weekends by any SEC team to this point this season.
Yeah, Florida's schedule, when you look at what they've done, it's very, I'm not going to call it confusing, but it's very hard to pin down this Florida team and who exactly they are. To your point here, to start conference play, they host South Carolina, they sweep South Carolina. I don't think anybody's that surprised about that. They then go to Alabama, they get swept by Alabama, and then from there they go to Arkansas, then ranked number four in the country, and they sweep Arkansas. But then they come home and lose 2-3 to Ole Miss, and then they go to Georgia, who was the new number four, and win 2 out of 3. It almost, to me, feels like the goal for Auburn here, or I guess Auburn's going to win or lose based on how well they play. And that sounds very obvious. What I think I'm trying to say is I don't necessarily think you know what you're going to get from Florida, but I think this Auburn team is healthy enough, to your point, is talented enough where as long as they play their brand of baseball, you can win a series maybe no matter who is on the other side. And it's you don't know what you're going to get from Florida, but as long as Auburn can be the team that we know they are, I feel like this is a winnable series for the Tigers.
Butch Thompson did a podcast with me in the fall. And it was to talk about his 10 years as Auburn's head coach. Remember, he was hired after fall ball. So that's when we did the podcast with him. And that's, of course, coming off of a regional win last year, hosting its first ever super regional. The new Plainsman Park with the 984 Club and the War Eagle Wall and the Yeti Yard and the Back 40 and the Hall of Fame Club and the Broadway Club and all of the things that have been added so seamlessly to Plainsman Park. And one of the comments that he made coming out of that in that podcast, and I think it goes to what you're just saying, Lindsay, is this is not just an Auburn ball club that when it makes a trip to the World Series like it did in 2019 and like it did in 2022, folks are a little bit surprised. Oh, Auburn's in the World Series. That's not what Butch is working for now. Butch is to a point with this ball club and with this group of sophomores that were so good as freshmen and this class of freshmen that it has. This is a team that should be in Omaha. This is a team not only that should be in Omaha, this is a team that should compete for a national championship. And you've not heard that from Auburn's baseball coach many years. Now, listen, I think Hal Baird thought that a couple times back in the 90s with those ball clubs. But I guarantee you Butch Thompson feels that way about his ball club, and that includes this series at Florida this weekend, where in years past going to Florida, you're hoping to get one. That's not the mindset. That's not the mindset of this coaching staff. That's not the mindset of this team going to Florida. I don't know what's going to happen. Florida's a really good ball club. But this is an Auburn ball club that goes down with some confidence, in spite of the fact that it's 8-7. One of the 9 teams in the SEC that are either 8-7 or 7-8 in the Southeastern Conference right now.
Yeah, Butch had a really great quote about that in the postgame on Tuesday. I want to get to that next right here on the Barn Baseball Show. You touched on it, Andy, that the middle of the conference is just a kind of a large mass of teams here, a cluster in the standings. And, you know, Butch studied history. And so he started talking about the continental divide and how the goal here for Auburn is just to end up on the right side of the divide. How there's, you know, Florida's also 9-6 in conference play, and the goal is just to win more games than the teams that are in this grouping with you. And to your point, the expectations should be different. The expectation, like, to me, it's not get to Omaha. It's win games in Omaha. They've been to Omaha multiple times under Butch. And this series, is it right of me to have outsized, not expectations, but outsized weight put on a series like this because it's a team that is in the middle of the standings with you, and winning this game or winning this series can help you get on the right side of that divide? Like, is it, I know that every game matters the same at the end of the year, but I feel like this series is more important because of that factor.
Butch talked about the continental divide in his pregame show with me on Wednesday. And then apparently he carried that to the postgame presser as well. So that was on his, that's a teaching point, I guess, with his ball club right now. Florida is 9-6 in the league. They're one game above that nine team jumble that's either 8-7 or 7-8. So Florida's right now on the right side of that continental divide, of that jumble of teams in the standings. And I understand what he's saying, because you're at the halfway mark of the Southeastern Conference season. And remember, this is when Auburn made its run a year ago. When Auburn's second half, and the schedule helped a little bit in the second half last year, but that's when Auburn made its run to host a regional and eventually to host a super regional. So here is Auburn again. It's at 8-7 in the Southeastern Conference. And there's no question, in baseball, the Southeastern Conference reigns supreme. There's there's no debate there. And you look at all of the different rankings right now that are out there, whether it's Baseball America or D1 or whichever one you want to choose from.
Yeah.
And it's full of SEC teams, including Auburn, in the top 10 right now. And now you go to a Florida team that is 9-6, comes off of a series win at Georgia, which again I think is among the most impressive that we've seen in a Southeastern Conference series this year, considering how well Georgia was playing and the fact that it was in Athens. And now you go down there, and I think he feels that this is an Auburn ball club that should not be surprised if it comes out of Gainesville on Saturday. And remember, this is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series with a series win in Gainesville. And that's not been easy for Auburn to do in many, many years. Typically, you come out of there, you're a little bit disappointed. Auburn goes down there this year and wins 2 out of 3. I don't think they're going to come back going, wow, we're surprised. No, I don't think this Auburn team is surprised at all if it goes to Florida and gains 2 out of 3 or even a sweep. That might be a surprise this weekend. Yeah. And this is a good Florida team. I'm not trying to take anything away from the Gators, but this is a good Auburn ball club too.
Mm-hmm. And you've seen Auburn, I feel like, I'm not going to say overperform, but be able to hold their own against some of those elite pitchers, against some of those elite teams. I'm thinking about Paul Skenes coming to Plainsman Park with an LSU club that went on to win the national championship. And Auburn, you know, gets through that game against him and has a really good showing in the series. It almost feels like the mentality of a Butch Thompson ball club, to your point. They expect to win, but they're not intimidated by anybody.
No, I don't agree. I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, that's...
I think part of that is the core of this ball club right now is that sophomore class that played on that team a year ago that hosted a regional and that hosted a super regional. And not only played, but those guys were key members a year ago, and obviously they're key members this year with Rembert and Frelick and Bub Terrell and these pitchers that have pitched so very well for Auburn. Listen, the 1997 team that went to the World Series for Auburn, obviously Tim Hudson was the star of that team and went on. He won one of the three National Players of the Year with Lance Berkman at Rice and J.D. Drew at Florida State. But you look at the makeup of that ball club that season, there were a couple seniors on that team, but that team was made up of a fabulous sophomore class. Casey Dunn behind the plate was one of those leaders, now the head coach, obviously, at UAB. So to me, that 97 team is a little bit, it reminds me, this ball club reminds me a little bit of that 97 team because, and this is the difference. The 96 team for Auburn was not a good one. It didn't even make the SEC tournament. That was in when they only took eight teams to the SEC tournament. Auburn wasn't one of those. But that sophomore class played a ton as freshmen, and by the time they were sophomores, they had a World Series team that ended up going to the old Rosenblatt Stadium and beat Rice in the second game. And this team reminds me of that team because of this class of sophomores and that class of sophomores on that 97 team.
I feel like the 97 team, everybody forgets, because you think about Casey Dunn being behind the plate and being so good. They also had David Ross on that team as well.
Right.
Like, they had two fantastic catchers. And I know Casey played some first base and all of that. On the note of the historical stuff real quick, I want to pick your brain as kind of an unofficial Auburn athletics historian here. When I think about this current rotation, this weekend rotation, these four guys that Auburn has, and I try to think about the right comparison for what they compare to in the past, my mind immediately goes to 2022 as somebody who is still newer to the Auburn area, newer, you know, but thinking about that grouping of starters and Trace Bright and Joseph Gonzalez and Mason Barnett and Hayden Mullins, there's got to be a better historical comparison to having this quartet of starters on the weekend that you can think of versus my thoughts of 2022 and those four guys.
Well, I don't want to jump the gun on this just yet. Okay.
Okay.
But my first year doing baseball with the legend Rod Bramblett was the 95 team. A 95 team that was the national number one seed going into the NCAA tournament and should have hosted in the old years where you played a regional and then went to Omaha. But Auburn did not have the facility. It was before Plainsman Park, what we now know as Plainsman Park, was built. I mean, it was the old aluminum bleachers and the tiny press box and no bathroom facilities on site and that type of thing. So that team did not get to host that year and went to Oklahoma State and eventually lost to Oklahoma, went to Oklahoma City, excuse me, and could not get out of that regional and didn't get to go to Omaha. But that team had John Powell and Ryan Halla as starting pitchers. Boy, it's hard for me to get past those guys. Now, there's another group, Brent Shaning and Eric Brandon and Corey Dewitt, that were really three good starters. Brandon throws a perfect game that year. They combined, I think they or someone else combined on another no-hitter that year, but they didn't finish especially strong that year. That team you're talking about in 22 did.
Yeah.
And it also had two hosses on the back end of that came in middle relief and Skipper. And then, you know, you had the stud coming in to close it out for you. Blake Burkhalter, who now is a starter, no longer a closer, now a starter.
Actually, the Braves are moving him back to relief now.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where he's best. So I don't know how to compare this team yet, because to this point of the season, they've been really, really good. And part of the fact is that they have been healthy. And now, as we mentioned, you're getting a Griffin Graves back. How much he's used from now on, how much can Auburn expand his outings, whether it's in relief on a weekend or as a starter, perhaps, and a midweek. I think that would be, you know, I think that's, if he's going to start, I think right now the midweek is where it is for Griffin. this group could be very, very special, especially if it stays healthy. and effective as it has been through the first half of the Southeastern Conference season. And it will need to be this weekend at Florida.
Yeah, very, very good Florida team. And game time 7 p.m. on Thursday, 5:30 on Friday. And then an early game on Saturday. They're playing at noon on Saturday, so 11
a.m. Yeah, and those are Eastern times. Those are the Eastern times.
Yeah, so 11 a.m. body clock on Saturday.
Right.
It's like the old travel ball days, you know, or something you would see at the SEC tournament when your night game gets rained out and you have to come back the next morning and play.
Exactly. Yeah. Brad Law will have the call this weekend of the Auburn Sports Network. I'm not with them. I'll be here for the A-Day football game. That's the reason I'm not making the trip to Florida this weekend. So Brad will have it solo down there in Gainesville.
I do feel like that's a tough trip to miss, Andy. Like, I feel like Gainesville's not a bad town, not a bad ballpark. Condren Family Ballpark's not a bad ballpark to call in.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful ballpark. It'll be the second time, I believe, that Auburn has played in that new facility in Gainesville. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, I hate missing any game. I do. I have a job to do here.
Yep.
And looking forward to the A-Day game at 2:00 on Saturday, but I hate to miss any ball game. I'll be tuned in and listening to Brad all three games this weekend and pull him for the Tigers.
Absolutely. Same thing here. I think Brad is fantastic on the radio. He does a great job of calling baseball. It's an art when you get to baseball, and I think that both you and him are fantastic at it, and I really enjoy his calls. Final little segment here before we get out of here. If the Tigers come out of this weekend with a series win, and I personally think they will. I think they have the pieces to do it. I feel like there's always one player that ends up having a big series, and that can be the tipping point when you have two teams that are very evenly matched like this. And I'm struggling to think about who is that one player that needs to have a big series for Auburn to win. I don't want to put pressure on these guys, right? We're not doing it like that. But just thinking about, there's so many talent, especially in that sophomore class, there's so many talented options. And for me, I keep coming back to Chase Frelick. I think that he, because of the role that he's in, where he usually catches either all three games, the first two when Lucas Steele catches Petrovic, that between that and his offense, he has the ability to impact so many games. And he, being locked in for a weekend, can be the difference in a series win and a series loss for Auburn, just by whether it's stealing strikes, whether it's keeping a starter on track through an outing, or producing at the plate. So I guess if I had to pick an X factor for this weekend, I think it's probably Chase Frelick.
I think Frelick will catch all three games. I think that's one of the reasons that they gave him the night off Tuesday night and put him at first base.
Yeah.
I'll give you one offensively, and I'll give you one as a pitcher this weekend as well.
Ooh, okay.
I like the trend of Chris Rembert of late. I thought he went through a kind of a tough spell, especially for Chris. Mm-hmm. But I think he's been a little more patient at the plate of late, and it is paying off. So he's my pick to click from an offensive standpoint this weekend at Florida. Mm-hmm. I think Jackson Sanders could play an enormous part of this weekend for Auburn's success, because he did not pitch last weekend for Auburn. It's a series that has moved up a day. So all three of the starters this weekend, Alvarez, Marciano, and Petrovic, will all be pitching a day earlier than they did last weekend. I think Jackson Sanders is all the more important for Auburn this weekend, and I won't be at all shocked if he doesn't pitch tonight in the Thursday game on the back end of Alvarez. Marciano, despite the fact that he took the loss last week against Florida, I thought the fact that he gave Auburn four innings on Saturday was enormous. Mm-hmm. And those last two innings were scoreless. So he's a guy that could, you know, he only threw four innings last week, and I think he's fine for the weekend. If it gets to Petrovic on Saturday and Jackson Sanders still hasn't pitched, I think that's really good for the Tigers. But I think Jackson Sanders is an X factor for Auburn from the pitching staff standpoint this weekend.
Yeah. Final question I have for you, and you touched on Jackson Sanders kind of coming in as a piggyback, and I keep going back and forth on what I prefer more. Do you throw somebody like Jackson Sanders after a guy that is different from him? Right. You know, you throw a lefty behind a righty, guys who do different things. to keep hitters off balance? Or do you throw him behind a guy that he is very similar? And the idea is, if they are this, so let's say they can't figure out Jake Marciano, we're then going to get a very similar pitcher behind him and keep that going. Because I've seen both, and I feel like wanting the contrast is the best idea. But I'm curious what Andy Burcham thinks about the plan. Do you go with what's working?
Yes. I think this, I think it's everything.
Yeah.
I think this weekend, Jackson Sanders is the guy that they need if they need four strong innings after a really good outing by Andrés Álvarez on Thursday, or Jake Marciano on Saturday, or Friday, excuse me, or Alex Petrovic on Saturday. I think ideally you'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you can really strategize. All right, where are we going to use him? And we're going to hold off and use him. And I don't think that's the case for Sanders this weekend. I think he's pitching for Auburn when Auburn needs him, regardless of who the starter has been.
Yeah. They're fine with either one. They just want to get that arm into the game and stack innings. And I do think if you can use less relievers in game one, that definitely does help you. So I see the benefit
I love the matchup tonight. From a baseball standpoint, I think it's a really good one because Aidan King has been by far their best starter in Southeastern Conference play. He is 5-2, a 1.74 ERA. He has wins and he has gone more than seven innings in each of his last two outings, including last week at Georgia. We know what Andrés Álvarez has done in his two starts in the Southeastern Conference after just wipeout stuff in the midweeks. Tonight, from a pitching matchup, potentially could be the best one we see on the weekend for both Auburn and Florida. I'm very interested to see how this Auburn team goes up against King and as well Florida against Álvarez tonight.
Yep. Game one is definitely going to deliver. That'll do it for the Barn Baseball Show for Thursday, April 16th. For Andy Burcham, I'm Lindsey Crosby. We'll talk to you next time.